Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You're worthy getting loud for, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of us getting loud for, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, oh, hey, oh, ha, 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 wow, wow, woo. Is anybody getting loud in here? Oh, yes, Lord, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Hey, you're worthy. Woo. Oh. Hey. Oh. 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 So worthy, Lord. Oh, I'm thankful tonight because we have a reason to shout. We have a reason to get loud. Oh, we have a reason. We have somebody to get loud about. Crazily loud. Insanely loud. Abundantly loud. Know about you, but I am just amazed at the Lord, his heart, his spirit, his goodness. And obviously, as many of you know, most of you were there, we had the Get Loud conference this weekend, which was amazing. Just Lawrence would sometimes occasionally describe, he's just, there's no words. And then he would just walk away and say nothing. It was just amazing. Wow, that's really loud. But I thought one thing that we could just... Wow. Yeah, you guys were awesome. Wow. Oh, he's worth it. Thank you for your hearts of worship. Don't leave. I wanted to show a video that we showed this weekend, that we showed on Friday night, that like just like ripped my heart into a million pieces. In a good way. And we're just going to show it again. And it's everything that Kim was just declaring, everything that we were just singing out about the blood of Jesus. And the way that whoever the individual that put this together, the way that this revelation all just came together, it's something that honestly I've never, ever in my mind or my heart ever thought of or considered about the account of Barabbas in the Bible and that whole dynamic. So you have it queued up there? Yeah. Lights.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell. And the urges of sin will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me, say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
That'll just... wreck us. For eternity. That one drop of his blood was enough to set the entire world free. Such love. Such crazy, amazing love. It's almost like, whoa. What do you say? You know, that he took my place. He took your place. We're free. We're free. It's for freedom that he set us free. And one of the things that just blesses my heart most about the Lord is that he came for one mission and one purpose, and he's still accomplishing that mission and that purpose. Which is to redeem people to himself. To reconcile the father to the kids. And this weekend was just such an amazing picture of seeing the heart of the Lord released into people's hearts. There was someone, they're not here tonight, but on that first night, they prayed to give their life to Jesus for the first time. No, she is here. I'm sorry. You are here. Forgive me. The Lord sees you, even if I don't. But that's amazing. Like, that's the heart of the Lord. That's what it's all about. She was the only person that would come and receive Jesus. It'd be all worth it. All the time, all the effort, all the sacrifice, all the investment, all of it. For one. For one. And each one of us have been that one. And just amazed at the Lord's heart and progression throughout the weekend of essentially taking us through that, you know, the account of Joshua, the account of his heart, the account of the children of Israel and the walls of Jericho, and really just boiling it all down to a personal level of what he's working on the inside of us. And those that you were there this weekend, that's going to resonate in your heart. I believe the Lord's going to continue to establish that. But for those of you tonight that weren't there for this weekend, I believe that the Lord has just a fresh arrow of heaven to just like pierce into your heart of what is in his heart for each single individual that's here. And one of the things that keeps coming back out of my heart is that each one of us have that specific, unique cry. Each one of us have a specific, unique testimony. Each one of us have an amazing Father who loves us so much that he would literally take our place. That he would literally take the punishment that we deserve on himself. That he literally enables us to rise up into the place where every barrier, every obstacle, every wall that stands against us, he's knocked them down. And he's calling us into that place of just cooperating with his heart, partnering with his heart to see heaven invade earth. So Lord, I thank you that you've rescued us, Father. Lord, that each one of us, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, that we've been Barabbas, Father. We've been there, Lord, and you've set us free. Holy One, you've set us entirely, 100%, completely free. And you're worth it all, Father. You're worth it all. Worth it all. You gave us your best. And Lord, in our heart's response, we want to give you our best. As Jamie's playing, one of the things that I say that a lot, one of those things, there's many things. But when the Lord brings a breakthrough for us in our lives, where a wall comes down, where there's been a barrier or an obstacle or something that we've been standing and contending in faith, believing for, and the Lord brings that breakthrough, And I know I've shared here before that the Lord wants to use that breakthrough and multiply that into the lives of other people. But I also sense that when that breakthrough comes, there's a newer place of intimacy and communion with the Lord. Because we've seen, we've known, we've experienced Him breaking through specifically on our behalf. And He's created a new place of intimacy, a new place of fellowship where what His name means for me has become a reality. Like Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. I believe that. That's His name. And when I'm standing and when I'm contending and when I'm believing for healing, and that then that healing is released and that sickness is gone and that breakthrough is there, there's a new place of where my situation, my circumstance, my literal physical body has shifted and it's changed. And I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, I just kind of, wow, Lord, thank you. And then I'm kind of like the leper that didn't run back and say, thank you. I go on my merry way. And not that the Lord's angry or upset at that. But I really specifically believe that when those walls of Jericho come down, that yes, we move forward, and yes, we take in, and yes, we possess the land, but yes, there's also a special moment where I can come before my Father who broke through on my behalf, where I didn't deserve it. And I can come before Him, and I can come to His feet, and I can thank Him from the bottom of my heart. Because He gave me something that I don't deserve. He's given me something that I could not do myself. He set me free where nobody else could set me free. And I feel that it's in that place. That's where worship's the sweetest. That's where worship's the sweetest. That's where it's the most precious. That's where the enemy hates it. We talked a little bit about this weekend about the enemy wants to steal your shout. He also wants to steal your song. He wants to steal your expression of worship in that place of complete and absolute dependence and surrender. But the good thing is that we're not going to let Him. We're not going to let Him. And I believe from His heart that we're going to watch out for each other, that we're not going to let each other's song get sung, stolen. We're not going to let each other's breakthrough get stolen. Because it's one thing when I can stand for me, and that's amazing. But it's another when I can step in and stand on the behalf of somebody else. Because the Lord demonstrated to me that He stood in on my behalf. He didn't have to. So just a sense for tonight, for a continued release of I definitely believe the Lord broke through this weekend. There was a shout. There was a release in the Spirit. People's walls came down. People were receiving from His Spirit. They were touched by heaven. You could see it. Saw the enemy leaving people. That wrecked me again this weekend of the reality of the cross literally in front of my eyes. it's leaving people. People that were tormented are no longer tormented because of the Lord. His presence just... So I know that there's been a breakthrough and a sound release this weekend, but just a special sense tonight is that there's things that each one of us are still standing for, contending for, believing for breakthrough, whether it be in family situations or circumstances, whether it be something physically, whether it be something financially, whether it be any number of things. Then there's things that we stand for breakthrough corporately as a body. Breakthrough for finances, for lands that somehow the Lord's blessed us with in other countries, which is amazing. Let me ask you a simple question here. How many people do you think here are today? I'm not a good with numbers, maybe 40, probably less. So naturally speaking, would somebody that has, let's say, land at their disposal to release to people to take care of, would he give them like that land in like four different countries? Naturally speaking, you'd be like, what? But the Lord, I believe, sees something else. He sees something else. And somehow in His wisdom, He's seen fit to release that. Because He knows that something's coming. You know, it's kind of like Noah. Noah built an ark. I mean, what's that guy doing? One guy. It's true. Like, what's he doing? You go past his house. There's something way bigger than his house, outside his house. What is he doing? I mean, think about, like, if you'd actually come up and have a conversation. Noah, what's going on? Well, I'm building a boat. Okay. I don't know what that is. Because there's never been any rain or anything in boats. So first of all, I don't even understand what a boat is. Let alone Noah probably doesn't, except because he gets it from God. So, and then what are you going to do with that boat? Well, the Lord's going to send all the animals that are on the earth to me and my family. And then we're going to put them in this boat. And then it's going to rain, which you don't know what that is. And then it's going to waters are going to cover all the earth. Like, everyone else is going to die. Skip over that. But the animals are really cool. You know, like, that whole story, if you actually, what? But God found one man that He could entrust with something that everybody else would think would be crazy. And one of the things that has continually blown my mind, and I believe that the Lord will continue to blow my mind, because He loves blowing my mind. Maybe there's like a little thing in heaven that when our minds get blown by something that He does, it's just like a little bell goes off, like, ding, another mind blown. Because the Lord loves His kids. But mind blown. And so Moses, we're not talking about Moses, Andy, we're talking about Noah. Well, They did talk about Moses' weekend, so that's relatable. But so God entrusts Noah with this crazy thing that he can't quite necessarily explain to the people that are around him, because they don't necessarily have a grid for it. But he was faithful to follow through in it. I mean, he took time, he took effort, he went out, he got the logs, he obviously had help. But he put that all together because he was building something that was going to carry the purpose of God. And the Lord, I believe, has released and deposited things here corporately that would just seem like, what are you doing? That doesn't make sense. But it maybe didn't necessarily make sense to Noah, but he still got things ready. And so in the area of believing the Lord for breakthrough, sometimes it's not going to make sense. But that doesn't mean that we should stop believing for breakthrough. I have no idea what it's going to look like, because I can't logically break down the amount of people here in this room and then break down the land that he's given us and the nations. But he's done that. We haven't gone after that and like secured it ourselves. He's provided those things. And I believe that as we see and as we stand and as we believe the Lord for corporate breakthroughs, that it's also going to release personal breakthroughs. And as we stand and as we believe for personal breakthroughs, it's going to release corporate breakthroughs. Because the Lord is building a testimony of who he is in the earth. And he releases who he is through the testimony of what he's done, of what he's doing. There's times when I go and I share with people and they ask a little bit about, you know, Frontline or whatever, and it's like, you know, we have this church, Wales Road, and the Lord miraculously provided for the building to be entirely paid off. Like, you know, there's a lot of churches out there that still have a mortgage payment. They really do. God provides and takes care of it, but they're like, we don't have one. That's really cool. I'm believing, I'm taking that corporate breakthrough right into my personal, like, no mortgage in the name of Jesus. Not just so that I can have more money that I can spend on myself, but now that that's taken care of, then there's more money that can go, I don't know, maybe into like another country where there's land that has been given to us. I don't know. Maybe. But there's something that the Lord in Scripture said about Noah way later, and I believe it's in 1 Peter, which I never really had made sense to me, but it said that basically Noah, through his faith, condemned the world. Well, that's interesting. Well, how did he do that? And the Lord spoke to him and he said, well, he showed man that it was possible to believe God. The way that Noah lived his life, he lived his life in such a way that it showed the rest of humanity that it is possible to live in relationship with God. And in him showing that that's possible, allowed other people to see and recognize, if he can do that, I can do that. So what I sense tonight is that the Lord has more breakthrough for us. Because throughout the weekend, we saw in that specific location, Camp Wainoa, breakthrough release in the lives and hearts of people. Where We're stepping into more of possessing the land and gathering and maintaining and taking our inheritance, of going in and possessing the promised land. And the Lord brings a breakthrough and a victory in the fall of Jericho, so that the children of Israel can go in and possess more and possess more and possess more, to the ultimate end, to where they're an entire nation that's completely dedicated to the Lord. And the rest of the nations know that the Lord is with the children of Israel. So what I believe tonight is that the Lord has more breakthrough for us corporately and individually. And the Lord showed me this years ago, but He keeps stirring it up in my heart. But one of the things that to me is so strong in the account of the children of Israel going in and possessing the land is that they crossed over the Jordan River. And maybe you've heard me share this before, but the Lord just highlighted it to me again. That if you read, there were actually already two tribes of Israel that had land on the other side of the Jordan. Because there's the 12 tribes of Israel. So when they were going in to possess the land, two tribes already had possession of land on the other side of the Jordan. And as they were going to cross over, then the 10 would possess the rest of the land, which was a lot more bigger battle. And when the priests went up and they put their feet on, you know, the edge, and the Jordan parted, God spoke to Joshua. And He sent over the two tribes first that already had their possession. They already had their land. And they were going over ahead as a sign to their brothers and sisters that we're going to stand with you. We're going to fight with you. We're going to stand and contend with you until all of the land is possessed. And when all the land is possessed, then we can come back to the land that we already have and enjoy it. And people left, not in a bad way, their promise. They left what they had already received to go and help somebody else receive it. So the Lord has specific promises and breakthroughs for us in our lives, and He is no way calling us to back away from standing and contending for that. But He's also in the same way calling us to step out beyond to see the promise secured for somebody else, to help see the kingdom be possessed for other people, because it's not just about us. That's amazing. So tonight, let's all stand up. And as a it's just what I'm saying. I could say that about anything, it's just what I'm saying. No. I can't just say that about anything. Just what I'm sensing is that actually if we could all come up to the front and just kind of line across the front. Probably stay up here. Unless you're feeling that you want to go down. So how many of you are standing for breakthrough in something? For something? For someone? Some situation? How many of you guys have a personal breakthrough that you're believing for? How many of you have a corporate breakthrough that you're standing for? How many of you guys have a nationwide breakthrough that you're standing for? How many of you are having an international breakthrough that you're standing and believing for? Because for some crazy reason, you happen to be in a church this evening that is called Frontline Worship Center. I don't know why that's funny, but Frontline Ministries International. Huh? Try. So I believe that tonight there's going to be a shout. And it's not the volume of your voice, but it's the condition of your heart. And it's the direction that you're pointing that shout. Because I see it tonight being an arrow in the heart of the enemy. I see it being a declaration. Because there's going to be some of you tonight, I believe, that the Lord is going to, the sense of it, he's going to call you with that Noah type of calling of getting something ready, but I don't know what it is. And what I believe here, this body corporately, is that we're getting something together, but we don't only fully know what it is. And that's all right. Because I've heard Pastor Bill say sometimes that, what? We don't know what we're doing. But we do. But we don't. And I think that when he says, I don't know what we're doing, I think he's saying that I couldn't have planned this myself. Is that an accurate assessment? Okay. I couldn't have planned it myself. Noah could not have planned that his destiny was to build a big old boat. It wasn't. But there's a shout tonight. So what I believe is that as a shout goes forth and as it goes into the heart of the enemy, that on the flip side of it, that spoils are going to be released. When walls come down, that means then there's access to something that wasn't accessed to before. And so what I see is I see family situations and circumstances of heartache, of unforgiveness, of frustration, of bitterness, of walls, of, I see that not only, you know, here in our families and in the families in Stark County, but I just see the Lord releasing tonight a release as we cry out, as we declare it. It's not only going to touch here, Lord, it's going to touch the nations that we have land in. Because it's going to break open the ground. The shout that we're going to release tonight isn't only for us and our families and situations and circumstances, but it's for the ground in other nations. Because tonight, our shout will actually break ground for somebody else in some other country to step into. And you have that power tonight. You have that shout in your heart tonight. And so I would encourage you not just to minimize it by looking at your own situation and your own circumstances. Because when I shout, I'm not just shouting for me. I'm shouting for the people that the Lord's calling me to cross the Jordan River, to go into the land, to possess it for. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, holy, And you're right, Jamie. What I was sensing is you were right. Let's everybody come down here because we're going across the Jordan as one. Holy, we're shouting as one. As one. Yes, Lord. So just encourage you right now just to close your eyes. And I just believe that the Lord might begin to show you different walls, different blocks, different obstacles. And I just see these different stones in front of us that make up this wall that the Lord is going to break down. And I just see that each stone is a different situation that needs breakthrough. Whether nationally, internationally, whether personally, whether in families, whether in situations, circumstances, whether it's a physical need. So Lord, I thank you that even as we worship this evening, as we lifted up that shout that you're worthy, Lord, I thank you. Lord, that tonight, in the name of Jesus, we step in by faith, Lord, to your breaker going before us now. Hey, Spirit of Lord. Oh, holy, holy, breakthrough. Holy in every situation, every circumstance. Hey, holy as one. Corporately, individually, personally. Ho, ya, na, 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 na. Physically, emotionally. Hey, alignment. Alignment in Jesus' name. Ho. Hey. Do it, Lord. Holy, 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 holy. Hey, holy. I 100% believe that something was released and something was birthed tonight through this shout. And and I went on my calendar and I marked November 23rd, which is 9 months from now. On a Sunday. And there's going to be something. I don't know what. But I believe that we will see something on that day that was released tonight. And I marked it. Because I believe that something was birthed tonight. You guys are amazing. You guys. Ho. Oh. And in closing, but we never close. I've just... I'm saying that because sometimes we have this mindset to where when we end something, which you do end a corporate time and gathering like this, then you would think that sometimes the presence of the Lord just like disappears, or that corporate feeling that we had, or there's just that shift in our mindset to where like, okay, it's done. Now I shift into this mode. I don't want to shift out of the mode that I'm in right now. And so just to read in closing, that just so impacted my heart, and take this with you guys. It's from Galatians 5, and it's Galatians 5:1, and it's from the Message. And it says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. And then if you go down to Galatians 13 through 15, it says, and I read this morning for those of you that were at, but for those of you that weren't, this just blew me away. So it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. And I believe that the Lord is calling us corporately to love each other. And I can say, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, as far as what the Lord has produced on the inside of me, that I love you people. And that I know that you guys love me. And I know that we love each other. And that's what helps facilitate the continued avenue and atmosphere of freedom. Because love covers over a multitude of sin. So to end, my heart's prayer is that each one of us would so capture the heart of Jesus that we could treat each other as Jesus treated Barabbas, who set him free. He covered him. He loved him. So I don't want to not love, because that's just not good. That's not the kingdom. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for what you've released, Father, this weekend, what you've released, Father, in the hearts of people, Lord, what you've released in us, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the angels in the spirit that, Father, that blew the trumpet with us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your ministering spirits and your angels that, Father, have marked down situations and circumstances, Lord, for specific breakthrough. And, Father, we will not back down, Father, from taking and going in and possessing the land, Father, not only for ourselves, but, Lord, for our brothers and, Father, for our sisters. And, Lord, I thank you that it truly is for freedom that you set us free. And Lord, I thank you for guarding our hearts, Lord, and showing us through your amazing heart of love how to truly love. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone sick here tonight, Father, Lord, that they've been healed, they've been touched. And Father, even though she's not here tonight, Father, we speak, Lord, that this shout and this cry, Lord, for Mary has driven cancer, Father, out of her body, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that this shout and, Father, that this cry, Father, is driven out, Father, in the name of Jesus, weakness and sickness and disease, Father, in physical bodies, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What do we do now? You love each other. What do we do now? We love each other as one. One really last, this is a funny thing, is that if you could go on YouTube and you can actually do like a search, somebody sent this a while to me, just really quick for like the power of sound, for the power of the shout. There's actually like a video that shows where you release different sound waves, different frequencies, and they had a bunch of sand on a vibrating plate, and they would vibrate this plate at different frequencies with this sound, and literally you would see different patterns and pictures come on this plate as it would vibrate from sounds. I don't really know. Yeah. So know that literally, I mean, how many of you guys have heard that, you know, that there's some opera singers that'll hit some note that'll shatter the glass? So know that your cry, your shout tonight shattered something. There you go. Yes.
Thank you.